Welcome to the Simply Be Found Huddle, where you have Dean and Rob talk about things business and business related. We have the Simply Be Found platform that is on there. Today we have our guest, AJ. AJ, how are you doing?
Very good. How about yourselves?
Oh, doing good. I'm fighting allergies, but that's neither here nor there. It's a season for it. So tell us a little bit about you and your company and what you guys have going on.
So we make a product called Daylight. It's a software as a service thing. We cater to companies 1 to 100 in size, specifically selling a kind of service either to bigger companies or services they sell to other individuals. And we also cater specifically to the Apple ecosystem. So we have a Mac app, an iPhone app, and an iPad app, and we don't have a web app, at least not for now.
Gotcha.
That works. So Tip, what are you kind of seeing inside of the market for that type of stuff right now?
So what's interesting is that even with all this AI stuff and all these other things that are going on, customers and potential customers are always talking to us about the same things. Like when it comes to business, following up, remembering the follow-up, remembering where you left off, remembering the customer's details and history, all those things are important even in the age of AI. And so that's one of the things we do well. And that's one of the things that, we built our product to kind of help businesses grow. And when it comes to help businesses grow, it's all about the customer, right? About the relationship, et cetera. So it's interesting that, we've been looking into like, what do we do about these AI features and whatnot? And ultimately customers don't care, like they care about that, but it's more important to make sure that you look professional, you follow up on time, you're prepared when you go into a meeting with a potential client, et cetera. So, or with the client, doesn't matter, right? Because it's easy to lose trust. It takes effort to gain trust, right? And so those are the things that are still really, really important. And I have to remind myself when we look at all this AI stuff, like, no, we still need the basics and we need to do them well.
So AJ, I get always get to play this part. So let's assume that I'm a small business owner and I don't know what a CRM is. Can you define what it is and the importance that it is for a small business?
Yeah, good question.
You were there a lot, not too long ago until I introduced you to a CRM.
I still don't know what they are.
I'm not 100% sure you understand our CRM, but
But I always get to play that part, AJ, where I get asked these questions because I'm an old engineer and we used acronyms for everything. And people go,
right,
what the hell does that mean? So
right,
explain what a CRM is and the importance for a small business owner to understand it, why they should maybe have one.
Good question. So CRM stands for customer relationship management or manager, right? One of those things. And really it's about storing the information that is critical about a potential client or a client in one place without it being all over the place. So for example, let's say that you didn't have any system, you might have some notes over here, you might have some stickies over there. If you're using computers, it could be in one spreadsheet, could be some notes in another folder with some text file. But what you actually need is something to put it all together so that when you go to the customer's record, you have all the information that's necessary for you to be able to, talk intelligently to this customer and make some decisions. And the problem is further exacerbated when you have more than one person in the company. So when you go beyond solo and you're two or three people, now what happens when, the other person's getting some emails or placing some calls or getting some calls? You want all that information in a central place. And that's really ultimately the core of a customer relationship manager, right? And then, of course, there's the things like I got to follow up next week or I got to follow up 6 months from now, et cetera. And you put that in to get reminded so that you can follow up.
Right,
that's the core of a CRM.
Because yeah, that you've hit a nail on the head right there, because I've seen a lot of small business owners that we've coached and they put it all into a spreadsheet. And
yes,
they have one person that contacts them and they didn't fill the spreadsheet out, and then the next person contacts them, and then it makes you feel like, okay, or you just didn't do follow-ups. That's why it's really important to have a good system put together.
Yeah, you know what I mean, the world is getting more competitive, and what we see a lot is, even when I'm dealing with people, if they tell me, hey, I'm going to follow up in 2 weeks, and I'll be, or I'll tell them, follow up with me in 2 weeks, and they don't, then they follow up with me in 4 weeks, and they're like apologetic because I was supposed to follow up in 2 weeks. That already puts you on the back foot, right? And so that, you know, you're not in a position of authority or strength in that case. Now you're in the back foot, you're apologizing, et cetera. You don't want that, especially when you're about to land the client. After you've had history with them and they know you and they trust you, it's a different story. But in the beginning, it's really important.
Yeah, so once they get to know me, and they know that I screw up and drop the ball a lot, they're robbed to the death of that, you know. But it takes time to develop that. So anyway, Rob, I interrupted you there. Sorry.
So it's one of those things that, I mean, all from all the small businesses I've worked with over the years, which is thousands of them, and just, you know, working with different sales teams, training sales teams, and just being able to do all the things I've ever seen. I mean, it used to be the joke that you'd go through, you'd clean off your desk, you'd find 10 leads.
Yeah.
Or if you're a roofer or, you know, some kind of contractor, you clean your car, you're going to find leads because you wrote it on some piece of paper and now it's sitting inside of the passenger seat underneath that McDonald's wrapper and, you know, possibly has some stains on it and so on and so forth. So that CRM brings everything into one spot. And even with today's technology, I still see CRMs being a huge piece.
Yes.
And being inside of there to where you have some kind of organization piece inside of there. Now, every CRM is built in a different way, in a different manner, and some are better for one person and won't be a match for the next person.
Right.
They're very much a unique piece for what that is. For example, for our CRM, I mean, I have to have all these trigger points, has to connect to all these things that are outside that makes all that setup. I just spent the weekend at the time of recording this, going through our CRM and looking at all of our trigger points. We have over 1,000 different trigger points that can happen.
Right.
That's a lot of trigger points, and a lot of CRMs are not built for those trigger points.
No, like in our case, for example, we cater to people that are not as sophisticated as that. We do have, you know, we have the, you know, opportunity management, we have project management. So we have a few of those things. We have what we call activity sets, so you can, you know, schedule things, et cetera. We have a full-on calendar. We do proper meeting invites, all those things. But when it comes to triggers like that, there are CRMs that are better. I mean, we do have things like webhooks and stuff like that. So you can do it if you're more programmatically inclined.
Right.
We have APIs for these things to listen to events. A new appointment happened. A new contact happened. Et cetera. Et cetera. Et cetera. You know, we have a litany of those things. So there are gradients of, you know, there's the, on one side of the spectrum is the paper and the sticky notes and whatnot. And on the other side of the spectrum is like full on crazy Salesforce kind of, you know, you're paying $1,000 a month per user kind of thing. And in some businesses that makes sense. It's valuable because the size of the deals and the size of the revenue is huge, right? So when in our cases, the businesses that we cater to, they're typically making like the individuals and so forth, you know, they're making $300,000-$500,000 a year kind of thing. And then we have actually large companies in Europe, you know, 100 plus. We have one that's 150, and they've become used to our system of doing stuff, and they've integrated with us, so that, you know, like they'll be with us for a while. But most of our customers are in the 10 or less. That's the bulk of our customers.
So AJ, do you treat it? Sorry, Dean, do you treat it almost like a bucket system then? When we had a CRM for a while, didn't take off. We ended up getting rid of it when we made a huge shift for our platform. But we did it as a bucket system, to where you could have, you know, you have these leads in this side of this bucket, you have these leads in this side of this bucket, this one. Or how do you guys handle your guys' management within your software?
So we have, you can define a pipeline.
Okay.
And you can push opportunities through that pipeline. So you can have multiple pipelines for different types of services or things. We typically recommend not many pipelines, because then, you know, too many things all over the place is kind of difficult.
The more stuff you have, the more it breaks.
Yeah. So we try and keep it simple. And so we have a pipeline. You can define the pipeline, and for the pipeline, on each stage of the pipeline, you can define tasks and appointments. And when you advance the the stage of the pipeline, we automatically create the next things. Well, we ask you if you want to, and you can go backwards. And so we have like a proper pipeline management for opportunities and as well as for projects. Because our customers, typically what happens is they'll land a deal and then they have to go and execute on that deal. Now, all the details about the deal, like what they have to execute on, is in the opportunity, right?
Right.
So in our case, you start a project. Again, you got the same calendar, same tasks, et cetera, but you can link to the opportunity and all the information from the opportunity is available on the project, as opposed to it's in a different system and you got to look it up, et cetera.
Cool. Well, what's the reason you decided to go Mac-based and not go web app-based? I'm kind of curious.
So when we started Daylight, it was many, many years ago, and it was a native application single user, right? So that's where we started on the Mac. And then we became a native application multi-user, but in an office, right? So you would have a server somewhere, you'd right. put our database engine on that server, and then your local clients would connect to that. Then we went to the cloud, where the back end was in the cloud and the front end is the same application, right? So one of the advantages that we have, like if we when we talk to our customers, what they like about us is that we're a native app, not a web app, right? Because you have the full, you know, Mac integrations, you know, your keyboard shortcuts, all these kinds of things just work.
Right.
The other thing that we had, and we still have, is we plug into Apple Mail. Right. So when we plug into Apple Mail, whenever you're getting your emails, we got a sidebar there that kind of shows everything that you have in the database for that particular person. And we can link the email in and put them in the system, et cetera. And so now, you know, Apple's kind of tightened that up because of security reasons. And we're building our own mail client. So now Daylight will have its own mail client and we'll be able to do even more interesting things with inbound emails.
Now, that's a pain in the butt. I mean, build a mail client isn't the most easy.
Yeah, it's thing. A heavy lift. It's a heavy lift.
You know, you'd think out of all the stuff with AI and everything that we've had created and come out, that's not one of those easy things that you have out there.
No, it's like we're working on it. We've been working on it for a little while. It's in public access now. You can go and play around with it and
cool.
and see it work. And customers are really happy because, you know, it's overwhelming, like the number of emails people get. Now, how do you focus on the right one? So now we have a button and it kind of filters out everything else and only shows you the emails from people that are in the system or have an opportunity open or have a project open. And then you can focus on those and then deal with the rest, right?
Does it kind of clean your box at the same time then?
So, I mean, you have to go through the process of cleaning your box.
Okay.
Because what we do is instead of, you piping all your emails to our servers, what we do is we allow you to connect to your mail server and you decide what's in the system and not, so that, you know, your privacy or any kind of things like that is kind of handled. We might add in the future some server side stuff where, you know, certain things can go there automatically. But at the moment, what we have is, you know, you define your mail server, wherever it is, it's Outlook or it's an IMAP server somewhere or it's Gmail, etc.
Right.
And we connect to that and then you decide what goes into the system based from that, as opposed to us kind of sucking it all in.
Perfect. Now when it comes to best practices, what are some of the best practices that you see that most small businesses either fail at or should be doing or anything in there? What are you seeing inside of the market right now?
So good question. I actually wrote about this in an entrepreneur article. And so the biggest challenge I see with people is that a business owner will know, I need a CRM. Somebody told them, right? Like they're frustrated. They know they need a CRM. They get one, but they don't use it themselves and they expect everybody else to use it, right?
Yeah.
So now what happens is that because they're not using it, the people don't know exactly how the system should work anyways, because every business kind of has its own flows and so forth, right? So the owner, especially when you're like 10 people or less, the owner is like critical in that process, right? And if they don't end up using it and they're expecting other people to use it, it fails. So that's like that. I can see that. I can see that a mile away, right? So that's critical.
We are our own worst enemies.
Yes. So as business owners, we got to kind of lead by example and use the system properly. And then you also get to identify, okay, well, this is better and this is worse and people should do it this way, et cetera. When that happens, we've have customers that are diligent on this. They're like, you know, they'll fire people for not putting system in their stuff in their CRM appropriately. And they thrive because all the information's in one place. You got your processes and, you know, to people follow and they're diligent about that. And when those people are diligent about that, businesses typically succeed. At least that's what we see. So we have thousands of customers around the world. And one of the benefits that I have is that I get to meet them. Like, you know, when I'm traveling or something like that, I get to, you know, say I'm visiting a customer. I can write off the.
I was just going to say, you're looking for those tax write-offs on your vacations.
Right. Yeah. But more importantly.
So like, grab lunch.
Like that's just a creative process for me. When I go to see customers and I see what they're doing and how they're doing stuff, and like I'm like, why? Well, this could be better. We could do this. We could do that. And so for me, that's a creative process. But also, I get to know their businesses. I get to know them a little bit. It's really like I really look forward to.
Yeah, I love coaching all the different varieties of businesses that we support as well, because you learn so much and you get to see that user experience firsthand.
Yeah.
What problems they're having, and you go, oh, that could be a lot easier if we just made this little tweak, or that didn't make any sense to me, that process. So that's a good thing to.
So then, what kind of coaching do you focus on?
We basically help with the marketing side, the digital marketing side.
Okay.
Yeah, getting them out, getting people to get their information correct. Rob's going to add more to it because he's our data guy. And we really want to make sure that all the information, your name, address, phone number is correct. We coach with website information as far as your schema markup,
right.
and then talk a little bit about the social media marketing.
And
I'm gonna let Rob lead into the tree concept because he does that better than I do. But we consider our marketing plan like the analogy of a tree, where you have the root system, the website, and the canopy. So Rob, I'm gonna let you take it from there, and because you do a better job of talking about that.
So we talk to all of our members. So most of our members are going to be small business owners, but we have some enterprise. We've kind of been forced and shoved into the enterprise world because they're like, well, if you can make it work really well for a small business, our team might actually use this shit. I mean, I was like, all right, well, I mean, it's one of those things. But so when we're coaching somebody, it's all on the tree and the marketing aspect of it. So okay. It's that organic piece like Dean was talking about, which is that root base. That's going to be your listings. That's going to be your NAP, your NAP SW. So that's going to be your name, your address, your phone number. We work with over 1,000 different networks that we put that information out onto. And then you have the website piece. We can design a website, or we can work with whoever you're designing the website on and kind of coach in that area. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be your SEO, your schema. We have some AI tools that can go into that and really build onto it. And then you have your canopy at the very top, which is going to be, you know, your blog posts. It's going to be your Google Business Profile, which I put up in the canopy instead of being in the root base because it's kind of its own ecosystem.
Okay.
Which we have the Google Business Profile Boost that works inside of that piece.
Right.
That's where we bring AI into that Google Business Profile. Then you have your social media marketing. We built an entire social media marketing suite that someone could use if they wanted to do all their social media from one spot. But then you have different spots that we also coach at inside of that tree. It could be anything from email marketing to coaching on how to be able, what CRM might be good for them. That's why I was asking the questions I was asking CRM piece, because everybody's needs are different for what they have and what their setup is.
Yeah.
And with any system, and it's our biggest struggle that we have as well, and I'm sure you do as well, is they don't implement it 100%. They get about 75% there.
Yeah.
And then so you get them that they just stop doing it. And then they go, well, it's not working. Well, yeah, it's not going to work if you're not using it.
That's the key part. So that's really cool, actually. So speaking of the 75%, this is one of the, like you said, one of the challenges we have. So there's it's a double-edged kind of sword. So we have a lot of customizations, you know, categories, keywords, roles, all these things. And on one side, it can really mess people up because it's just too much to customize. On the other side, some people say it's not enough, right? Yep. So you can never win that game. But the idea is that we try and keep it simple as much as possible. We always wrestle with this, like, you know, what features do we put where? Do we actually add this feature? Do we remove this feature? And we can't remove features sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to get into feature creep.
So this is what we resist again.
Feature creep. So I mean, come on,
we're really good at that.
Yeah, I call that field vomit. You know, you put a field there here. Oh, I need this. I just throw a field there, and then all of a sudden you have just fields and buttons, and there's no priority. There's no flow. So we struggle with that. Like, I mean, we've done a decent job, I think. But it is, you know, I think it's an eternal problem.
I like that term, field vomit. That's a great way to put it. It's all over the place, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no priority then. You know, you don't know that this goes in this flow or that flow. So you know, you then have to start looking around. People, and also the other thing is that when any small business owner is running a mile a minute. Right. Yes. There's very few of them that are, you know, like, I have time. So on one side, you have an audience that doesn't have time, and yet they need the time, and you need to make an investment in your system in order to make your system. But so that's another thing that we wrestle with, right? We even offer onboarding sessions and so forth to kind of, you know, help you out a little bit here and there. We'll do a little bit of things for you. And then we have lots of documentation, but people don't read them. Right.
Yep.
So we have to make it intuitive as much as possible.
Yeah, you do. And it has to change and it has to adapt.
Yes.
It's kind of like where you started your conversation. You didn't bring a lot of AI into your CRM. We haven't brought a lot of AI into ours that the actual user is going to use, or our member, what we call as a member instead of a user. But we use a ton on our side in the back end. Our system automatically uses a ton of it. And I mean, AI is nothing but a bunch of automations. So it utilizes those automations. It just has gotten a little bit smarter with these new language models.
Yeah. But
I mean, as far as the end member, they don't have to touch any of that for the AI side. And I think AI is going to become, I think AI almost makes things a little bit more complicated than it helps. Or it gives you the power to put out a lot of junk that's not going to get looked at and matched.
Yeah, they call it AI slop.
Yep.
I could
produce 10,000 articles today. Wouldn't be that good, but I could do it.
Yeah. So this is a good question. This is a good question. Is where like I've been listening to various customers, like, kind of telling me what they want out of AI. Majority of the things that I get is like quick response, for example, in responding to an email, or like a template to, you know, when you're kind of cold emailing a customer, that, or it's a previous customer. We're not doing like mailing lists and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we do. But you know, typically you'll have like a few hundred clients that you want to kind of touch base with,
right?
Because they haven't done business with you in a year or two or whatever, and you want to, you know. So those kinds of templates, those are the kinds of things I hear from people about wanting in terms of making life easier for them than some automations. What have you guys heard, like, in terms of what customers are actually seeking in terms of AI?
You know, it's all over the place for what I'm seeing for AI. I think for on the CRM front of it, I think it's one of those things to where they want to, basically it's going to replace out the executive assistant piece to where it drafts that response to what they should say inside of it. That's, I mean, we built this out for us. It automatically puts in that response of what it thinks it should be. I don't believe, it's kind of like your reviews. I don't believe reviews should be AI responded to,
right?
Without it being a draft, but it could draft a reply, and then you edit that draft to make it your own.
Yeah, yeah, you have to do that. You have to do. Right. You can't send it. Like, that would be crazy.
I talked to a company the other day. They're like, we'll reply to all your AI, all your reviews by AI. We'll do all your email, cold email. It's all AI done. Like, you just click one button, it just goes out and does it. And I said, well, that's scary as hell.
Yeah,
I would never trust AI to be able to go through and do all that. It's gonna mess up. And then I'm going to be responsible for whatever it said.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, I mean, you know, the whole thing is that you can put the same input into you know, ChatGPT or Claude or any of those things, and you're not going to get the same output each time. It's non-deterministic. So how can you, like even legal liability wise, if you think about it, right? We're talking about it in terms of product, right? So if I offer you something and I don't, it's not a draft, and I send it for you automatically, like I could be saying all kinds of garbage based on what the LLM decided to generate that day.
You want $1 million. Pay $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There you go. Or I mean, lose your best customer because they got some slop in their,
right,
in their email. Yeah.
Well, what I'm seeing with small businesses is they're just dependent on it. And then that says something that they do this service or product and they don't, but it doesn't know that. And they
don't. Yes, that's right.
And all of a sudden they call up and say, hey, we want to order this service from you. Well, we don't do that. Well, you sent something else that you do. So now you get into that credibility and trust.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. I had somebody I talked to the other day that they have an AI. They put a blog, an AI generator on their blog, and it was automatically writing the blogs. Well, it started talking about products that they didn't even exist, that they didn't sell. It wasn't even close to what they had. And all of a sudden, they're like, we're not getting any results whatsoever. And I was like, all right, I'm kind of curious. They were an old client of mine, right, not even a current member. And I was like, let me pull a report because I'm curious. And I was like, all right, here's my friend of a friend advice. You're talking about stuff that's not even there. You're now ranking for these other products. You lost all of your ranking completely for what you do. And you're now ranking for this other stuff. So are you ready to change your business or what's going to happen? He goes, I don't know what to do with this. I'm like, that's going to be a mess to clean up. And that's why, you know, when it comes to like our SEO or any of that stuff, we have custom plans for it because it depends on where you're starting from. If you right, have a bunch of junk out there, we're going to have to clean that junk up first. And sometimes that can be a costly piece.
Yeah. I mean, that you know, so I hadn't thought about that particular aspect. But that, you know, it's crazy what people are wanting it to do. And then they don't realize the repercussions.
Right.
And well, so it's scary. It's a little bit scary, like in terms of like what people want and what it can do. It's not the same.
Well, think about corporate sabotage. So if somebody was to hack into one of these AIs and train it to talk a certain way about your business and you weren't paying attention, they could ruin your business easily for that. I mean, nobody's really talked about the legal liabilities of AI are very, from what I've seen from talking to lawyers about it, they're all over the place. But when it comes to, you know, authenticity and all that different stuff that comes to it, I mean, someone could literally hack over one of these AIs and totally ruin your business if you were relying on something that was not legit.
Wow. I didn't, now that you say it, it's like, you're right. Like, I didn't even think about that. I was thinking more in terms of like, you know, smaller, like not your whole website, because that will ruin your business.
Yes, it will.
Yeah. Because now you're just really confused.
Yeah.
When you confuse, you lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to put out whatever it thinks is best. So you have to think about those aspects, especially when it comes to your data, because your data and your consistency, when you're going out and you're marketing, those are your number one pieces. Those are the pieces that's why it's part of that root system to be able to bring it up, because if it's not right, you're going to be screwed. It's kind of like if you went in, you did a half-assed job setting up your CRM and then didn't do it for, you know, 2 months and then came in and started doing it and expected it to give you results. It's not going to happen.
No, you got to work the system.
And so many small businesses out there get into that mindset of they want everything to be instant. And this, the long-term game of anything inside of the CRM world, and tell me if I'm wrong from your point of view, but the marketing world, anything that's going to be organic and that's going to be inside of there for those systems, it takes, I mean, yeah, certain businesses can see results pretty quickly because they had nothing in place and now they're doing something that might generate some results in there, but you're not going to see true results and consistency until about 90 days out. What are you seeing
at least? Yeah. At least. So in fact, you know, it can be 6 months or more if you think about it. So speaking of that, like one of the things that, you know, might as well talk about it is, you know, when you go to Google now and you type in something, you'll get an AI summary.
Right.
And you don't, so you don't get the results to go to the site to actually read it. You get an AI summary.
SEO? It's actually gotten worse. They now have what's called AI mode. Have you seen that yet?
No, I'm not. I don't know if I've seen that. I mean, I've seen so many things.
So now they have the whole summary that's keeping people inside of Google and keeping them inside of that environment.
Yeah. But
Google actually now has a piece called AI mode. That's changed SEO completely because it's going through and now people are interacting with that AI and they're not going to the website.
Yes.
And if they don't go to the website, you have no analytics on who saw you. You have no data points on any of those things. And you're relying on the information that you have out there to be collected
by the AI. Which can be 2 years old, according to some.
And yes, some exactly.
models is like a couple years old. So, you know, interesting, you know, we're seeing that pattern and that trend. So there's a couple of interesting things here. Number one is our traffic kind of went down a little bit.
Yes.
And then secondly, when we're talking to customers and we ask them, how did you hear about us? It's the line is increasing where they all say ChatGPT.
Right.
So where did you find us? Well, I asked ChatGPT for this and that, and it suggested you. And I'm like, oh, that's it. I mean, on one side, it's good. But then when I go to ChatGPT and I ask it about us, it's like, that's old information.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Remember, it's not up to date. It's not seeing today's information.
Yeah.
So
people are not coming to the website.
Yeah.
Well, but you hit it on the head there, AJ. I mean, we've had people going, you know, they've signed up for our SaaS products, our listings engine. They go, our traffic's down on our website. Well, people are contacting you, but they're not going to your website. They're looking at the analytics of the website, which may not necessarily be what's happening out there, but you just hit the nail on the head with saying, how did you hear about me? You asked the customer, how did you contact me? Because without that information, you don't know where they're coming from. You know, it used to be people said, I Googled you. Well, Google's the verb. You know, they may have been on Bing. They may have been on Apple Maps. Who knows?
They
said, I Googled you. So that it takes a little time to get through that. But I'm with you. I'm starting to see more people saying AI. They're using ChatGPT or Claude or whatever, and they're not going to your website. They're contacting you directly through that process of query.
So to me, correct me if I'm wrong here. Actually, I'd like your opinion on this. It's even more important that the content on the website is good, because whenever the next training round happens, I mean, they're going to snarf up all that content, and then they're going to put that in the next engine or what have you. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree with that, but it's more than that. So the reason why we work with 1,000 networks out there, or up to 1,000 networks, because every industry is going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And those AIs are pulling from the directories. They're getting their links and everything from those places. They're pulling from your website. They're pulling from all the social media. So everything you're talking about, that's listening to every little piece. And if you're not talking about the problems you solve, you're going to be screwed.
Right.
But you have to be putting that information out there. I mean, think about all the little things that these small businesses are doing that they don't even talk about on their website.
We didn't talk about certain features, and now we've started to add pages for those specific features, because originally we felt it might overwhelm or whatever, but now we need it because, you know, like it's gonna suck. And then, you know, there's this new standard. Have you heard of this LLMS.txt file?
I haven't heard that one.
I think so.
So that's like a document that you put in your web root directory, which has all your content in one file, or actually it can go by folder. And if it finds that, it sucks that up instead of, you know, the HTML pages.
That's going to be used again. I mean, that's going to be used by a bunch of spam people majorly.
Well,
I have not heard of that one.
Like, that seems to be like one of the standards they're going for. So it's called LLMS.txt.
It almost sounds like the old meta word thing, Rob, back in the day. Kind of thing where you just stuff all this information.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that on my board because I'm going to look at that, because, I mean, that reminds me of meta keywords back in the day.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, so these files can be massive. We haven't done it on our website, But on our documentation site, it the system that we use automatically generates LLMS.txt file.
That's not what I've heard of. That's the problem with how fast we're moving right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this reminds me of going from the 14.4 to the 56, K modem to the DSL to the, oh, we got cable. Now we can have real true images on websites. Then, I mean, now fiber's a big thing. I mean, we're moving at a faster rate than
it's crazy.
I've seen in years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, right now, especially because it's like a new tech, right? And so there's all this hype around it. I liken it to like when databases were introduced, right? So prior to databases, you did something, and then databases were introduced, and that opened up a whole opened up all kinds of possibilities for products and for organization, etc. So I think of it as another one of those, although it's the Wild West right now because of the hallucinations, right? These hallucinations are crazy. Like
it is.
Yeah. I like the term that you use, Wild Wild West, because we use that all the time. It's like Wild West. There's no rules right now. And yeah. Nobody really knows where we're going to shake out at. That's really a good point.
So when I say hallucinations, you know what I mean, right? Like it doesn't, yeah. It makes stuff up, right? So right. It's
hey, you got a review about this on XYZ and they loved your product, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know who that person is.
There's again
a problem that would be in there.
So now if the fundamental principle behind these LLMs is basically an algorithm that predicts the next word based on the context of the previous words.
Right.
And so I can't imagine how they're going to eliminate the hallucinations out of that kind of system.
I don't know how they're going to. I mean, it's going to be to where. So I built a system that I call it an argument. So it connects into Gemini, it connects into Claude, it connects into ChatGPT and Grok.
Okay.
And I'll put out a piece of information. I'll say, do some research on this or write this paper, do this. And then it argues with each other on who's right and who's not.
Oh, boy.
I've actually seen it pause for a second, go, I'm going to have to lie about this. I know I shouldn't, but I don't know what else to do.
That's interesting.
And it's like my whole entire data science brain and programming brain looks at that and goes, huh? What? What's it going to do now? And then, I mean, that's when it came up with a review that didn't exist and it knew that it needed to lie, but it didn't have any other information. So it's like, I'm going to lie about this. And I was like, that's really interesting. And then
another one goes, the hallucination,
you know,
right?
It'll lie if you don't have the right information. I was like, now it's starting to agree with itself. I mean, this is like Terminator 101.
That's scary, actually.
It is.
You know, when GPT 3.5 came out or something, like I can't remember. This was like, a little while ago. And I still code occasionally, right? And so I'm trying to figure something out, and I go into ChatGPT and I put the question in there and it spits this code out, and I look at the code and it goes, wow, that looks right. Right. And I'm like, this is perfect. So I throw it in, and of course it doesn't work.
Right.
Like, why does it not work? So then I go on a forum and I kind of put that snippet of code on the forum, and I'm asking like, why is this not working? And like within minutes, somebody responds and says, you put your thing in ChatGPT, didn't you? I go, well, how do you know? He goes, because that doesn't exist. It made it up. those modules and functions don't exist, but they sound like perfect.
Yeah, I've had that happen. What I do love for programming instead of ChatGPT is going, why doesn't this work? And take my own code and toss it in. And it'll go, well, you forgot to close this out or some stupid mistake. It reminds me of...
Okay.
Reminds me about being back in the programming days when someone come behind you and you've been working on this code forever. You're like pulling your hair out, like, why is this not working? And they go, you didn't close your tag.
Right. Or you missed a comma.
Right. Or you missed a comma, whatever. Some stupid thing. And you're like, I've been looking at this for 3 hours. And it was that? Really?
That's a good use case, actually. That's a good use case.
I mean, that basically, it makes me a lot faster when I'm programming for that reason.
Yeah, no, it does help. In that sense, it does help to, especially when you know that it's going to hallucinate and it's not going to be legit all the time, but it can get you going, which sometimes it's just like writer's block, right?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, you know, you need you're staring at a piece of paper and you go, I don't know where to start. You ask ChatGPT, it gives you a paragraph or two, and you go, oh, great. Let me start with that, and you can write your page or whatever it is. And it's the same thing with code.
It is.
Like it can give you – now, you know, it's not inventing anything. I mean, it is kind of with the hallucinations, but it's based all on prior art, right?
Well, everything's based off of something it already knows that's already been done.
Yeah.
But if you look at history in general, I mean, that's what the human race has done over centuries.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, Dean and I were having this conversation. I think it was over this weekend we were talking about, you know, fire was original when someone first created fire, but I mean, what else has really been original in a long time? I mean, all of Disney's movies are all based off of some old story that's been told for years.
Yeah, in fact, now they're just remaking movies because they ran out of ideas.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
You can only make a movie so many times, but I mean, so my wife was talking to me the other day and she was like, wow, I mean, nothing's new for that fact. I said, nothing's ever been new that Disney came out with. It was retells of old tales. Some of those were really scary and wicked as hell.
Yeah.
And they made up a children's story. But
yeah, sometimes you wonder, like, wait a minute, they said this to the kids?
Yeah. No, that's how they used to keep the kids in bed, man. You'd tell the boogeyman stories under their bed. That way they wouldn't get a bed and walk around. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things to where all AI is going to do is it's going to just keep repeating what it already knows, and it's going to hallucinate where it needs to fill in blanks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's the only new creative piece you're going to have out of that.
Yeah, which most of the time will be lies.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but the chat, if you really, you know, one of the things that you see is Rob and I have talked about, you know, AI becomes your best friend because it knows the answers you're looking for.
Yeah,
you can talk to it about your business and what you're doing, and as long as you're factual and you update it and say no, that's not accurate or whatever, you can actually train it to talk better. But it still won't have, you still got to watch it because it'll
you know, you got to provide those instruction files.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you has to have the instruction file. So let's look at. So we have a product called the Google Business Profile Boost. It's going to be releasing out at the time of recording this. So it's going to be releasing out in the next couple of days. But by the time this is out, it'll already be out and on the page as a product we offer. But it relies 100% on the blogs and the programming of how we program it up of what you're putting out on your website. So if you're not putting anything out on your website, it's probably going to hallucinate. It's not going to do well for you.
Right.
But if you're putting that information out, it's going to do really well.
Okay.
And this is where a lot of small business owners really struggle, and where I'm kind of working on that, where we're working on that process of trying to figure out what it is that's going to be there, because you have to be able to provide that. Now, it'll automatically write all your Google Business Profile posts. It'll do all your questions and answers, but it needs that information piece. So right. There's two ways I tell people to get information. They either record a video of themselves, if we're talking like a contractor, get done writing, do that quote, record a video of yourself talking about the quote you just gave. If you're a baker, talk about the cake you just baked.
Right.
Put that in the, you know, YouTube, so that way you get your video marketing. Then take that transcript, put it into AI, make a blog off of it. Now make your social media off of it, because that's real stuff that you're solving the problems, and that brings your voice into it. So like the Google Business Profile Boost, it relies on that. A lot of our systems rely on that information. And if someone's not taking that time to put at least one blog a week out, they're not going to get what they're hoping for out of the system, because it relies on that information.
Yeah, you need that base material.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And that's a good idea in terms of like record a video and then let it transcribe it and then use that transcription to then feed it into you know, whatever else to get you some of the other content that you need. So that's genius, actually.
And that's the best way to do content, basically.
And if you don't want to record that video, you can talk to any of your AIs and just tell about the problem you just solved.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Right. That's genius.
I had a contractor the other day. I don't have enough time for that. I'm like, are you taking notes after it? He goes, no. I said, well, you probably should be taking notes. And that way you have notes inside of your paper, so you know what you're building the project off of. But
yeah,
okay. I'm like, that's probably my biggest struggle or our biggest struggle with any of the small business people. And I'm sure you see it as well, because you have to take the time to put the information in. Because if you don't put the information in, you're not going to get the results.
Yeah. That is so critical. Like garbage in, garbage out. You know, we've heard this term. And then no garbage in, no garbage out either.
Yeah. Right. If you don't put anything in, you don't have to worry about bad information coming out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pick on Dean for that one, for his other company. So him and I started where he was a client of mine when we first got started doing this whole thing. He was a client of mine for a few years. And I've been telling him for years to collect emails and be able to start a database and start to build that stuff up. You know that CRM piece? Mm-hmm. I've been on him now for probably, Liv is 10 years. So probably 9 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Do you think he's doing that or his staff is doing that yet to this day?
I don't have to say anything because he said
I'm confirming that we don't do that as well as we need to. We do it half-assed, if you will. And that's the problem. And the problem is when you do it just partially, you don't get the full benefits of the information you're collecting.
Yeah. You sometimes what you may need, what I have seen some company owners do is that they'll, you know, they know, like, for example, I'm not the most organized person either. Right. But we have people that are super like zoned in on that. And you just have to encourage them to do the right thing. And then, you know, when they slap you around, you got to kind of submit and put the information in there. But that can help. Like I've seen other customers do that where they have like a really strong second in command, like a COO or an operations manager or whatever. And they're like all about the data.
Yeah. See, my problem is I've got people that work for me, and it's very artsy fartsy. You know, I've got graphic artists. I've got people that understand.
Yeah. But, no, you'll need one operations person because you have a whole collection of the same kind of people, which I understand. Yeah. Like we got the same kinds of people ourselves. So you need something. You need somebody.
Yeah, I know, but it's hard to justify it with a small business.
Yeah.
Sometimes the position that just that's all you do.
I feel your pain. I feel your pain.
You know, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be, somebody couldn't be trained to do it. I mean, you say this is your job. You know, you have somebody that isn't full time. But the problem is they're not busy. You know, as a small business owner, you're busy doing this and you're working in the business, and then you're over here, and then you're trying to work on the business, and that's that CRM piece, and it gets really hard because then you don't have continuity if you shuffle around. But it's really the responsibility of everybody to put that information in to a point, but you want to make sure it's consistent because, like you said, if there's inconsistencies, then there's problems.
I mean, something is better than nothing. I tell customers this as well. Like, you know, something is better than zero. But speaking of on the business and in the business, if you were to tell me, okay, you got to spend X amount of percentage of your time on the business versus in the business, what would that be?
Oh, geez. I try to spend about 15% of my time on the business, but it should be higher than that because, you know, that comes down to a cash, you know, like anybody, it's a cash flow. We get that whole cash flow side, but really I've worked with people, they spend probably 50-60% of the time on the business and they're growing because they're spending more time on the business.
Right. But then they have the systems in place where they can spend more time on the business. What I recently wrote an article as well on this and encouraging people that spend zero time on the business to at least do 5-10% of their time on the business. And then, you know, hopefully it grows after that.
Right. So my take on that is a little bit different. So it depends on what stage you are inside of your company.
Okay.
If you're a startup, you're going to spend more time in your business because you have to learn your business before you can work on your business.
Right.
If you are in the stage of wanting to own a business versus having a job, you should be spending less than 50% of your time on or in the business versus on the business. And I mean, that's going to always kind of go there. So I'm going to put my VC and my M&A hat on for a minute. If I'm coming into a business and I'm going to buy you or I'm going to, you know, acquire your company, I don't want necessarily a job to be able to go in and do. So if you're in your business and you're doing it all the time, then that's a problem, because yes, that means I'm going to have to either hire someone to be you, because you haven't trained somebody to be you yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you don't have systems. You don't have systems.
That entire piece of in and on business really depends on what your stage is and what your goal is and what you want to be able to do. I mean, yeah. I think every business owner should be to the point to where they should be on and in their business to where they're probably working on their business 80% and they're 20% because they're doing what they love and they're coming in and doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's granted, good, that's going to shift around, but yeah, I would say the 80-20 rule.
Yeah.
But at the very beginning, if you're in the startup phase, you're probably 80% on your business.
Yeah. 100%. Actually more than that, but that's a good target, I think, to get to. And I should actually do another article about that.
I should probably practice what I preach on that one too, but you know, hey,
if you don't know, right? If you don't know what a good target is, then you don't know, right? So if we can say, hey, you should be spending you should work your way up to be able to spend 70, 80% of your time on the business. And which means that you got to put some systems in place. You gotta, it's not going to happen. You have to kind of make it happen. So exactly. how do you make it happen so that you could actually go on a 3-month vacation and the business just keeps humming?
Right. And see, one of the things that my business per se that I'm going to talk about is it's 52 years old. I mean, we started, it's a third generation business now. I've run it for 35 years. Referrals are a big piece of mine, but in the digital age, I'm starting to lose traction because I'm not doing the things that we need to be doing by working on the business. So you got to be careful for businesses that have been there like mine have for a long time, not to just depend on referrals, because people leave. And then you got to fill in that bucket, that marketing bucket. You know, that's an old term from the 90s. You know, filling that marketing bucket up, keeping it full, you know, because it leaks, because you lose customers over time.
Yeah, so, yeah. There's natural attrition happening. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so we're very cautious about making sure we're putting some stuff out there. We're probably not doing as good a job as we need to because we still have so many good referrals. But you got to be careful because that could all just dry up and go away.
Yeah. So, because especially if you're along, like in our case, we have customers for a while and then they're eventually retiring.
Right.
Right. And so now, I got to replace there. It's not that they dislike my product or whatever. They're retiring.
Right.
Exactly. And the new person might have a tool that they're in love with, and now they don't want to use your tool because they've been using this other business for a really long time.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to continually fill that top of the funnel there.
Right.
With one way or another, because you will have natural attrition anyways.
Right. And I think businesses lose track of that sometimes. When it's really good, then it's really good. But when they start to lose that traction because of attrition or whatever reason,
you can get caught. You can get caught in that, you know,
right.
Worrying about the top of the funnel.
Right.
And then the world changes. And then all of a sudden you got to worry about the top of the funnel.
That's exactly what
I do. You know, one of the things I've looked at for one of the mentors I had, he owned a business and he decided to go through and he wanted to work on his business. And the only time he ever worked in his business is he came in, I forget what kind of business he had for this one, but he would go in and he would work the cash register. That's the only time he ever worked in his business is he worked at the cash register because he missed dealing with customers and dealing with the face, you know, being at the front, dealing with all that.
Yeah.
It was so much that his staff didn't realize he owned the company. And he goes, I don't know what happened. And I was like, I don't know what happened to you. I mean, he goes, they kind of forgot I even owned the company because I just come in and I'm doing the same job they are, but it allows me to work in. When I'm inside the business, I know everything that's happening inside because I think it was a food restaurant he did this in. But I get to hear the complaints. I get to hear all that. He goes, and I felt like I could contribute to the business more and keep my hand on it because it didn't really matter what was happening behind.
100%. So I call this the ivory tower complex, right? Where you get to a point and you say, well, I don't have to work the floor, right? Or the catch or whatever. But then what happens is you lose you lose touch with the customers that, you know, you lose touch with what's happening on the ground.
Exactly.
And you end up making decisions that are incongruent with what's actually happening on the ground, right? So now when you're doing the cashier thing, like you're talking to the customers face to face directly, you know what's happening on the ground. You'll do better in the business because you'll be up to date, so to speak.
So your mentor was the first of the undercover bosses, almost in a way.
Kind of in a way. I mean, but that's kind of where that concept had came from. Yeah, right. I mean, it was one of those things to where I kind of did that same policy back when, well, I was a teenager, but I would go to Vegas and go to the shows for the furniture market. Well, before I went to the furniture market, I'd spend a day on, or I'd probably spend about 3 days at least on the sales floor, and everybody I sold to that we were delivering to, I went in their house and delivered their product, and I was looking to see what makes them buy whatever couch. And I was looking at the whole mental piece, because that helped me when I went to market to go figure out what we were going to put into the store for the next season.
Right. So you, that's what I mean. Like, if you're in those cases, you're on the ground, you can make better decisions.
Right.
Yep.
And when you're not, like some of these bigger companies that you see, you know, they were thriving, and then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but gradually they stopped thriving because this ivory tower complex, you know, the CEO doesn't even understand what they're selling.
Right. No. I agree.
You lose track on it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just lose track. And I mean, I call that the ADHD brain of small business owners. We all have it. Every business owner has it. Some people just have some people underneath them that make it even out. But if you're just a, you know, 1 to 10 person company.
Oh yeah. ADD is a big deal.
It's a big deal. I mean, it'll mess your whole company up, and it shows. It definitely does.
And it's to me, it seems that the whole ADD thing is actually worse now. Because of social media and so forth. Like, it's really, you know, you get and you know, there's messages here, there's emails, there's WhatsApp, there's the, you know, like you're just like all the time shifting left, right, and center. It's really hard to concentrate. And you know, like zone in and get the work done, unless you either do it at night, late at night, or you just put do not disturb if you have the discipline to and just, you know, focus. Because it's just like I myself, like, you know, I get a gazillion messages, you know, Slack, you know, mail, WhatsApp, iMessage, Blue Sky, you know, whatever other social media, bing, bing, bing. You know, I turn them all off now, but it's nuts.
I mean, the amount of messages that come through is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's amazing how many phone calls you get and how many spam messages. And email's basically a to-do list if you don't manage it correctly.
Yeah. Actually, interestingly enough, I noticed that the spam calls have increased.
Yes, they have.
Because I think people are now to the point. Actually, now when I have certain meetings, I'll tell them I'm not doing, like, we're fully remote as a company. I'm not doing the Zoom thing. I'm putting my headphones on and I'm going for a walk.
Right.
And we'll because I'm just done with the screen. Right. Like.
Yep. I have the same thing. It's like, and sometimes I'll purposely take my watch off. I'll take my phone and I'll set it on the counter and be like, I'm just disconnecting. I mean, that's my plan for the summer. Is I want to disconnect and go up to the mountains and just not be in front of any technology, because I need to figure out what's actually inside of my brain and not being influenced by everything going on around. I mean,
yeah, no, it's very true. It's very true. Like I'm with you, because that's the same thought process. It's like, you know, you got to do that digital detox or whatever.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are getting more addicted to this stuff more and more. I mean, we limited how much time our kids spend on tablet and all that stuff. But I mean, this morning, I mean, we were having the argument, being the start of summer is recording this, but I mean, it was one of those things to where my 10-year-old is watching TV and she's like, I want to play my game on my tablet. And it's like, no, you're not doing tablet today.
Yeah.
We're going to limit how much tablet you're going to get for a week. But I mean, we limit it probably more than we probably should at times for technology, because her computer teacher for that once asked me if we had a computer at home, and I'm like, well, we have about 10. And she goes, what do you do for a living? I told her, and she goes, oh, "Oh, she struggled with the keyboard." I'm like, "Oh, I'll push her later on the keyboard on the computer more, not just on the tablet, because that's a good skill to have."
Actually, writing is a skill that's being lost by the kids.
Yes, it is.
I've lost that. My writing sucks. I'm gonna have to figure out what the heck I wrote on my board probably in a few minutes. And I take
my phone calls after this meeting. So one of my process, because I'm older, the process I learn and remember things is to write things down, to journal. And so
I journal kind of like almost every day. I lose my mind.
Right. But everybody says, "Why don't you just do it on your phone?" Well, I don't look at my phone like that later. But I'll open up my notebook or my journal and read what I did, what I thought about for the week, and maybe implement some of it. Maybe not. Maybe I just get put away for later.
Yeah. You know? That's another thing I tell a lot of people is, you know, you got to kind of like get the stuff out of your brain, and you should journal. Right. And what I've noticed myself is I used to type it out. But it's not the same as actually writing. Right. No distractions, no screens. You're just writing.
Right. For my Kinect, that works better for me personally.
Right.
For the generation below me, maybe not, you know, but for me, that's the way I've got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I started writing. I did the screen, but it's not the same. For me, I really have to do that. And I do that, at least minimum four times a week.
You know, what's really cool about that is you can handwrite a whole entire piece, and then you can actually scan that with the new tools inside of AI. You mm-hmm. can scan that writing and ask it to translate it into Word
about not that.
Changes.
And it'll I saw a demo of that, actually. And I conveniently forgot about that.
Right.
I think Rob showed that to me. I still haven't used it, but he showed it. He goes, because Rob pays attention to technology way better than I do with the new stuff.
Right. Right.
But I mean, that's one way to bring your writing out. So, I mean, if you, for example, going back to that whole entire creating content and creating marketing, if you're handwriting your proposals, you could take a picture of that technically, and mm-hmm. you could say, translate it into a blog, and it would create a blog about that topic.
Right. I hadn't even thought about, instead of doing a video, you can just take a picture of your notes.
Yeah. Look at this. You want to make sure that Rob is like
anything that was personal, but you could do that.
Rob is just spewing wisdom out like holy smoke.
Yeah.
I like looking at this stuff. This stuff is always fun.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's all you have so much data in your business.
Yes.
And if you're not properly using that, so you have the CRMs that are out there, you can relate to that one. You have all your data marketing, you have all this business information. And I would say the average business out there is only probably using anywhere between 20 and 25% of their actual information.
I think that's I think it's less than that.
Yeah. And that's including some of the big corporations. If you look at small business, I'd say most small businesses are around 1%.
Yeah, actually, this way I'm thinking small business, not the bigger ones.
Yeah, so I was talking all business. So 20, 25% for all businesses. And if you're talking about anywhere between 1 and 25 employees, that's probably only 1% if I was to put numbers to it.
Right.
Because they don't know. It's not because they're lazy on doing it. They don't know any better, and they don't even know
those. Yeah, they don't know what they don't know.
Right. That's a great line.
Yeah, they don't know what they don't know. I don't know what I don't know.
Right. And, I mean, you can bring somebody on and talk to them and be like, "Oh, I've never heard of that," because there's always something you haven't heard of that's been happening. Kind of like that LLMS.txt.
LLMS.txt.
See, now I'm relying on my handwriting that's inside of the board that I wrote really quick off to the side. But
we may have to put the transcript together for this recording, and that way you can go find it, Rob.
There you go. You can find it in there.
I'll figure it out. Well, AJ, if anybody's interested in being able to learn about your app or you or getting connection with you, how would they do so?
Well, two ways. One is you can visit our website, daylight.app, so daylite.app. And then on LinkedIn, that's my full name, Ali Khan Jetta. Just look me up and connect with me. And those are the two places. I'm not really on other social media much at all. I should be, but I'm not. And so I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on obviously our website.
Perfect. And now I have to ask the question to end this up. What is the reason behind the name Daylight? How'd you come up with that?
So it was really to make light of your day.
Okay.
Right? I had a feeling it was somewhere in there. But as you said that, I was like, huh, I wonder if I'm thinking if I'm on the same right.
Because think about it, you just get overwhelmed.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And I want to make it light for you. So that's how it came
I think it goes into that concept. I think a lot of businesses are there right now. They know they could be doing better in their business. They just don't know where to start.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. That's very, very
well. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, I loved it. So anytime you want to do this again, let me know.
All right. I'm getting for it.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye now.